Congratulations. Congratulations to you and to Dr. Robert Pauwhare and to your team for your Marsden Fund Pūtea on research into Tautai Ao, Urupa Tautai Ao. That's a very innovative, very modern, very, you know, contextual. Wonderful. Tell us about it, can you?
Well, we already just completed a kind of a pilot with the MBIE Vision Mātauranga, and we had three main sites. We had one at Mitimiti, one, of course, in Tapuika, Ngāti Moko, my own tribe, obviously for credibility, and then at Hāparangi, a whānau-owned block of land with Ngāti Wāhia. So those were the main, research sites, you know, iwi that we were working with. And we were really trying to see how receptive our people were to looking at revitalising pre-colonial death and burial practices, and also really to see how receptive they were to that. And during the research phase, we've only just completed it over a year. Hāparangi have set up, we think, the first Urupa Tautai Ao in Aotearoa. So we're looking at revitalising, but trying to adapt ancient practices for modern world. So that's what the kind of kaupapa is. And we found that our people are really, on the whole, not everybody, but are quite receptive to the idea, also because the natural burials, which, you know, our ancient practices fall into, are much more affordable. Because tanihanga affordability is a huge issue right across all the people that we've talked to.
And so you spoke with whānau at these rohe at the marae, and you said generally that it was received really well. I suppose it would be received very well, considering that, you know, it is coming from a quintessential te ao Māori construct, tikanga Māori, and I guess they would be very receptive and embracive of a tikanga tawhito. Is that how you sensed it? And then what of our urban whānau? Do you think that they may have the same opinion, a different opinion?
What was that last bit, Kari? I didn't quite hear you.
So I guess that, you know, because it's tikanga tawhito, I guess that they would be embracive, the whānau at the marae and in the rohe that you went to. I'm just wondering, do you think that there would be a difference between perhaps our whānau who live urban and may not have the same connection with marae or their rohe? Embracing this kind of kaupapa?
Yeah, there could be, but I don't think amongst the, you know, those of us who live in the city but have connections back home, I don't think that would be an issue. But perhaps, actually made me think that perhaps that's something that we need to look at, the urban experience. But having said that, not all of our people embrace the idea of Urupa Tautai Ao. Because the issue for a lot of our people is that they see tangihanga as customary, you know, one of the last bastions of tūturu Māori practices. But in essence, what we've discovered is that so much of our modern tanihanga are really imported ideas. You know, European, they're part of the whole colonial experience. Like, for example, we all dress in black, you know. But In fact, that was, if you look at Queen Victoria and Albert, you know, we're wondering how much of that, you know, influenced that whole tradition of wearing black, and probably more damaging to the environment to Papa Tuanuku is our use of chemicals, you know, for embalming. The coffins, especially the expensive flash coffins that we use, you know, they don't decompose very well in the soil. They're not very sustainable. There's also issues with water, you know, with ingression, you know, with contamination of the waterbed. So there's a whole lot of issues around modern tangihanga that we've challenged, and we see that as part of a decolonisation process.
Also, Christianity is part of that whole colonisation. You know, the whole service is based on our Christian hāhi and our delivery of our services. There's that involved as well.
Yeah, there was. There. The funny thing is when we went up to Mitimiti, and we had the most amazing experience there because, you know, they're all Katorika. Like, when we went in there, it was really unusual because we went straight into Mass first, you know, and then, but they were so, once we started, you know, getting into it, they were so, they're fabulous people. And then they started to talk about the ancient practices, and apparently they never used to bury. They were all over and, you know, put their Te Papaku went straight into the ana, you know. And there was a whole lot of beautiful kōrero about their ancient practices, and even about, we saw Ralph Hōtere's mother is buried in the church, not up in the Urupa with the whānau. And they still kept the practices of not, if you married in, you weren't buried in the Urupa. So there was all, and when back home at Ngāti Moko, our uncles were saying we had the same practices back home, and which is amazing, you know, when you consider how far away we are. So what we found was there was things that were shared, you know, a whole lot of practices that we could see going right across, especially suspending our Te Papaku in trees seems to be pretty, you know, widespread. Mm. But then that there were differences also. You know, there wasn't just, so we see regional differences, we see, and also the other thing that we found, part of it was in the literature review, but we went down to Karapiro, my moko's doing mokaama, and what we found was there's some kōhatu there, stones where, in the time of Waharoa, they burnt the warriors rather than have them get desecrated. So those, and when they flooded that area, they actually got retrieved those kōhatu which are on display. And I know amongst my whānau, and I was talking to other, you know, my girls, tāneas from up the coast, and they were saying that for our people it was always, you know, like, cremations were really frowned upon, you know. Like, I remember one of my kuya saying, "Oi, only pigs get cooked." So, and what we're finding is that, in fact, uncovering a whole lot of practices that we didn't know were, you know, a lot more widespread than we knew. Also, standing burials. I want to be buried standing. To make space.
Well, you see, that's one of the things, isn't it? We've got an issue with space now, haven't we? Yeah. No space. And so some of those practices, maira noa, might not be as practical because we ain't got the space no more. We haven't got the caves any longer. And, well, we might not be able to put it up in the rākau any longer. Yes. You know, so many barriers for us to go back to, you know, reintroducing those practices.
Yeah, but I think that fundamentally there's affordability was a driving thing for us, but also is that holding a kaitiakitanga. It can't be just lip service for us. You know, it's looking after Papa Tuanuku, looking after the environment, and doing that in life and death. You know, it's, I think that, you know, because we talk about, you know, you hear Papa Tuanuku, and look at the way we treat her. So I think that kind of was a really motivating thing for us too, was, you know, really giving credence to our true